Okay, as always, we want to thank the Frohlo Financial Group for sponsoring the Men's Afternoon Kollel. And this week's learning has been sponsored by Dr. Ira and Arlene Schwartz in memory of his father, Meir Yechiel Michal ben Hillel Elio, whose neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, it's we're hosting, as we do annually, the YU Yarchei Kala, Rabbi J.J. Schachter, and almost 50 Rabbanim from around the country who are learning together in the other room. But I stepped out to be able to learn with you because I feel bad we've missed several weeks in a row. So the last time that we met, we began the Sugya of Miktsas Hayom Kekula, which we'll pick up with right now. Sugya of Miktsas Hayom Kekula, part of the day is like the whole day. And we said this qualifies as a Shah Sugya because it overlaps several different areas of Halacha. For example, in source number one, I'm just going to quickly review where we were up to, and then we'll see the analysis pick it up and continue from here. The Sugya in Moed Katan Daf Yetes deals with the question of the application of Miktsas Hayom Kekula. Part of the day is like the whole day when it comes to Avelos. We all know this. If Rachmana Litzlan, someone has lost a loved one and they are mourning, they're grieving, on the seventh day, part of the day is like the whole day. So even though mourning that was instituted, Sderabanan rabbinically is 7 days, but we don't sit a complete 7 days. The seventh morning, the end of davening, someone says amakom, and shoin, you're done with your shiva, and an individual gets up, they walk around the block. Shloshim, the same is true. The end of Shloshim, the 30th day, the morning of Shloshim, one wakes up in the morning of Shloshim. Shloshim has now concluded, and the dinim of Shloshim, the laws that govern Shloshim, is over. The end of 12 months, the third and final unit of mourning, the end of 12 months, the morning of the 12th month, you're not done yet. You have to wait till the end of the day. We said this is actually a machlokas, but the Radvaz, others suggest the reason is miktas hayom. The principle is that we can see part of a day as a whole day. So Shiva is 7 days, part of the seventh day is 7 days. Shloshim is not observing 1 month, it's Shloshim. It's 30 days. Part of the 30th day is the whole day. But when it comes to a Shana, Yud Beis Chodesh, it's either 12 months or it's 1 year, but it's not defined by days, and therefore we don't apply, according to those opinions, Miktsas Hayom Kekula. So the first area of halacha in which we see Miktsas Hayom Kekula applied, part of the day is like the day is, in Avelus. The seventh day is, Shiva's complete. The 30th day, Shloshim is complete. Yes? The day of burial, correct. The day of burial, if you observe even one moment, then it is complete. In fact, in my own family, we had several scenarios. I have cousins who lost their parents, each on an Erev Yontif, Erev Yom Kippur, Erev Sukkot. They finished the funeral, and they sat on the stoop in the cemetery, changed their shoes, others said, Amokim Yenachem, and they made Yontif. And that was it. There was no Shiva. Now, that's different. That's a different law, Miktsas Hayom. That's a law that Yontif interrupts Shiva. What you're suggesting is, what if a funeral is on the first day? So even though you only observed part of the first day, the funeral takes place moments before Shkia, but you say Hamakom Yenachem, you begin, you launch the comforting of the mourner before sunset. So that constitutes the first day of the 7 day count, even though it wasn't a full first day. That's the first area. Second area we said is the Gemara source number two, which is Gemara Nazir, that a Nazir who has a unit of Nazirus, so Stam Nazirus is Shloshim Yom, if the Nazir didn't specify how long he or she want to have a term of Nazirus, Stam Nazirus is 30 days. If they specify, it can be longer, it can be shorter. So at the last day of their Nazirus, part of the day is like the whole day, Miktsas Hayom Kekula. Number three, we saw the Gemara in Erchin, which seemed to not apply Miktsas Hayom Kekula, took it in a different direction. There was the din of Batei Arechoma. We know that if a person buys a house, then in Yovel, the 50th year, the seller of the house has the right, or it reverts to the ancestral owner of the home. There's also the opportunity, if you sold a home, to redeem it, which is to buy it back. And let's say the buyer doesn't want to sell it back, but the halach is he can. The halach is he has to. The exception of Batei Arechoma, a home in a walled city, the owner only has 1 year to buy it back to redeem the home. Afterwards, he forfeits the right to do it. So how long do you calculate that year? So the Gemara says, miyom liyom me'eis le'eis, you calculate it day to day and hour to hour. If the sale was effected at 3 p.m., a year later at 3 p.m. And there you don't seem to say Miktsas Hayom Kekula. You don't seem to say that the year is up when the last day of the year, the sun rises, part of the day is like the whole day, the year is up. Meaning, what if the morning of the last day of the year, the buyer, the seller comes and says, I want to buy it back. And the buyer says, too bad, the year is up. He says, what do you mean the year is up? He says, the year is up, Miktsa Yom Kekulo. Part of the day is like the whole day. Your year is up. So we don't apply Miktsa Sayom. In that case, the seller can say, no, we calculate based on Me'es Le'es. We calculate based on the 24-hour units. The same is true in defining what qualifies as a korban for kochim. Source number 5, a gemara 4, a gemara in Zvachim and Daf Chafei. And there the gemara in Zvachim talks about kochim. Ben Shana Yeh, Set Tamim Zachar, Ben Shana Yeh, Shehei Tamim U Ben Shana B'Shah Shechita. That when we have a measure of a unit of how old an animal has to be in order to qualify as a sacrifice, if it's a year. So do we say, we define or calculate the year, do we apply Miktsa Sayom Kekulo? Again, we don't. So what defines when we apply Miktsa Sayom Kekulo and when we don't? When do we apply it, when do we not apply it? We apply it in Avelis and in Aziris. We're not applying it in Batei Arichoma and in the case of Kachim. So does anyone remember? We learned this already a couple weeks ago. What do we say?
They both said if it's in a calendar.
That was a different. Before we get to that, Tosfos says in Erechin, source 5, quotes Perish Rabbi Chanan, the Dafk about the Erechama beina meis leis, the Valin at the house and the Hamat the Meimar Dazin and Bahan, Basa Shanam Shalam, the Basa Shnos Olam, the Kula beina meis leis, the Bate Erechama Dafku, the Gali Kra, about the Enoch Lo. He says there's a difference in the Psukim. When it says Yom, so when it says Shana, then Shana Tamima, Bate Erechama, the Pasuk is Shana Tamima, and Kachem it says Ben Shana Yihyeh. So then, Shana, a year means Tamima, complete, whole, full, not Miktsa Yom Kekulo. But other dinim in the Torah, then you would apply Miktsa Yom Kekulo. So the default is Miktsa Yom Kekulo. Part of a day is like a whole day. The reason these two are an exception is because when the mitzvah is given, it's given using the term Shana, year. That means a complete year, like Sfiras Omer, Tamima. It has to be the complete count. We don't daven Marav till the whole day is up. Why don't we say on the last day, Miktsa Yom Kekulo, Sfiras Omer is over. Why do I have to wait to daven Marav the first night of Shavuos? Which is based on a minhag, but why do I wait to daven Marav the first night of Shavuos? Because I require Sheva, Shevasos, Tamimos, 7 complete weeks. It's not complete until that last day is over. Say, Miktsa Yom Kekulo. Part of the day is like the whole day. Genuk, Sfiras Omer is over. We don't apply it. So ostensibly, based on this Tosfos, would be for the same reason. Whenever you say the word Shana, it means Tamima. It means complete, it means whole, it means the full count. As opposed to something which is defined by days, then you would say Miktsa Sayom Kekulo. Yes? Oh, we'll come back to that. So we alluded to that also last time. So again, this is still just a review. Sefer HaChinuch examined a fifth area of halacha, hence a Shas Sugya. A fifth area of halacha where this might apply. The fifth area of halacha is that a kohen has to get a haircut. Can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, unkept. A kohen can't enter the Beis HaMikdash, disheveled. But a kohen has to have a haircut. And there is an interval of time for a kohen gadol. They're not allowed to enter without getting a haircut. So a kohen, it is 30 days. Paru rosh loshem yom. Yafina min nazir. We learn from nazir that 30 days without a haircut is when one violates the din that a kohen cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash if he didn't get a haircut for 30 days. So the Minchas Chinuch wonders, Im nichnas biyom shloshim kodem alas ha-shachar lebein ulam v'lizbeach v'shah sham ad sheher ha-shachar over balav imeinu yotze. So what happens? Can a kohen violate not getting a haircut if on the 30th day he waits when the sun rises, he's there and he doesn't leave? Would you apply Miktsa Sayom Kekulo l'chumra? Till now we've been applying it l'kula. Till now we've been saying Miktsa Sayom part of the day is like the whole day, so that Avelis ends earlier. Nazirus ends earlier. But would you say Miktsa Sayom Kekulo part of the day is like the whole day, not l'kula, not for a leniency, but for a stringency? So now it's a liability. Now it's obligating. Now it's obligating the Kohen. And he gets into the Minchas Chinuch. It's a lav shein bo maisa. What if it was Ayidei maisa? So would you get Malkus Afbet? He gets into it. So he says, he quotes the Mishnah Lamelech, that look in Bechiai Gavna, that you would get Malkus, that you apply Miktsa Yom Kekulo, not only Lekula, but you apply Lechomer. Again, this is all old. The Otzar HaGaonim, we said, further examines. Okay, so we've seen Miktsa Yom Kekulo applies to Avelis and Nazirus, and according to the Minchas Chinuch, the din that a Kohen has to get a haircut every 30 days. Would you have, and it does not apply to Batei Arichoma and Kodshim. Would you apply Miktsa Yom Kekulo? Why don't we apply Miktsa Yom Kekulo to Tisha B'Av? I mentioned, when I got smicha, the day I got smicha, the first thing my mother asked me is, now that I'm a rabbi, can we get rid of Tisha B'Av? That was her first agenda. Can we get rid of Tisha B'Av? The answer was no, but maybe creatively, halachically, we have a way to say yes. Mitzvah Yom Kekula, wake up the morning of Tisha B'Av, say, I fasted 5 minutes, part of the day is like the whole day, done, finished, wow. What a gevaldik at Tisha B'Av. I never felt so refreshed on Tisha B'Av. Only 5 minutes. Why don't we say Mitzvah Yom Kekula for Tisha B'Av? So the Gaonim quotes several reasons. Several reasons. One of which is, he says, really we should be fasting the 9th and 10th. Right? Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Ben Zakkai said, Ilu Ayisib Ba'uso Ador, Lo Kavati Ali Basiri. The main burning was on the 10th, not the 9th. But the Rabbanan established it on the beginning. Why? We mentioned last time. Because what we're really mourning, what we're grieving, is not the bricks and mortar of the Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning the catalyst. What did we do that so disappointed Hashem that set the destruction in motion? So when was the destruction set in motion? Was the 9th. True, the majority of the building burnt down on the 10th, but it was set in motion on the 9th, and that's what's precipitating our mourning. So we mourn on the 9th, not 10th, but really we should have mourned the 9th and 10th. So since we should have mourned the 9th and 10th, it'd be inappropriate to say Mitzvah Yom Kekula on the 9th, because really you should have mourned the 9th and the 10th. I mentioned Rav Asher Weiss had a piece, the Minchas Asher, when it's a Tisha B'Av Shenidche, falls on Shabbos, and we observe it on Sunday, which is the 10th, that year, is it that Tisha B'Av really is Tisha B'Av, but it's Nidche, we're observing it only on the 10th? Or no? Really, because there was a debate, should we have established it on the 9th and 10th? When the 9th is on Shabbos, that year, we observe it on the 10th. The nafkamina will be, can you learn Torah Shabbos afternoon? Can you do Dvarim Shabbat Sinna? If really it's still Tisha B'Av, you shouldn't do Dvarim Shabbat Sinna. We're just observing it on the 10th. But if that year we're moving it entirely to the 10th, then the 9th is not Tisha B'Av. I understand that semantically doesn't sound right. But the 9th is not Tisha B'Av that year. But anyway, so the Gaonim's answer to their own question is that since Tisha B'Av really should have been the 9th and 10th, we don't apply Mitzvah Yom Kekula to Tisha B'Av. Rav Schechter in his Sefer Bikvei Hatzon, source 9, and this is, I think, the last source we got up to last time. Yeah. Yes?
According to that first answer, I mean, so intrinsically, it's only a special case here. I mean, intrinsically,
sounds like.
You could argue that even by kindness, Mitzvah Yom Kekula, right? Of course, then you'd never have a kind of seber.
Well, he says that in the first paragraph. If you go back up, Eich ola alev mi b'miktzas hayom noagin, ota koltanas tzibur, ochle v'shosin bod yom v'asur mikolein miktzas hayom bavad, o sheish b'em tainis chamur mitesh bav v'karminan, m'lozar osa lot m'hoshet etzbo v'mayim mitesh bav, and so on, yeh benidoi komisha osa achas mikol ilo mitesh bav kol hayom. And those, you'll negate the whole institution. The whole idea was observe this day as a day. It's like a klutz kasha, the Gaonim say. Yeah. It's a klutz kasha. They gave us this day to observe the day as a day. So now you're going to try to, because you happen to have a little knowledge, so you're going to employ the old Mitzvah Yom Kekula. But that undermines and compromises the entire essence of what they were trying to do when they established this rabbinic day to begin with. So you're right. It doesn't apply to that. Perfect segue by our sponsor. So source number 9. Rav Schechter says, Ayin Gilyone Ashas. Look at what Rabbi Yosef Engel says in Gilyone Ashas in the name of the Ramah Mipanu. Not the Ramah of Moshe Isserles, but one of the Rishonim, the Ramah Mipanu, who asked, why don't we say on every Shabbos and Yom Tov Mitzvah Yom Kekula? My mother did not ask me this. She loves Shabbos. She loves Tisha B'Av much less. So she didn't ask me about Shabbos. But why not say the same thing about Shabbos? Mitzvah Yom Kekula. I got up in the morning. I went to shul. Shacharis, yet even before laning, say, now I can check my cell phone. Now I can drive home. Mitzvah Yom Kekula. I observed part of Shabbos. It's as if I observed the whole Shabbos. I kept a shtickle Pesach. Pesach is over. But Tirate, so Rav Yosef Engel says, "Davka binyani tomav ve'avelus amrin ha'achi b'chtei l'mayid b'hem." Aval binyani kedusha binyani simcha ein zeh min ha'nachon. So Rav Yosef Engel says, when it comes to tumah, nazir is tumah, and avelus, so we're trying to minimize the amount of tumah, minimize the amount of avelus. So for sad things, for negative things, which we're seeking to minimize, then we apply mitzvah Yom Kekula. But things which we want to maximize, Shabbos and Yom Tov, we have a din of Tosefes Shabbos. Tosefes Yom Tov. It's a whole separate sugya. Rambam, only Yom Kippur. Do we apply it to Yom Tov? Does it apply to Shabbos? How does it apply to Shabbos? But Tosefes Shabbos, Tosefes Yom Kippur. So when there are areas of Jewish law that we want to minimize, says Rav Yosef Engel, then we apply Mitzvah Yom Kekula. But when there are areas of Jewish law that we're trying to maximize, Shabbos and Yom Tov, then we don't say Mitzvah Yom Kekula. That is his distinction. But, Ein Zeh Min HaNachon, says Rav Schechter. Adrabah, Or I'm sorry, Rav Yosef Engel is quoting the Ramah Mipano. That's not correct. Why? Min haroi lohosef michol al hakodesh. Ulezer romez akosim malei shivu azos v'tam alav shama agon Rav Yosef Engel. Halon aziris v'inyin shal kedusha k'dechziv kodesh iye. V'yaf apichem avur b'gemar shem darmini benozim mitzidim kekula v'imkein maish l'shabas yontav min aziris. Rav Yosef Engel doesn't like the Ramah Mipano because he says, don't see aziris as something negative you're trying to minimize. True, on the one hand, the Nazir is called a chote. He takes a shortcut to holiness, but he's also called a kadosh. True, the Nazir brings a korban chatas, but he also is called a kadosh. So you should want to maximize Naziris, and yet we apply mitzvahs ayom kikulo. Rav Yosef Engel's question doesn't bother me so much because it's a classic age-old debate. The Tanoim, Amoroim, Rishonim, Achronim, everybody, every year, Parshas Naso, everybody talks about whether the Nazir is holy or unholy. Is the Nazir a good thing or a bad thing? Is the Nazir a hero or a villain? It's in a rabbinic drasha somewhere every single year, and it goes back to the time of the Tanaim, to the Psukim themselves. On the one hand, the Nazir achieves holiness. On the other hand, he took a shortcut to get there. So do we view him with admiration, or do we view him with disdain? It's an ancient question. So Ramah Mipano is saying Nazirus is bad. And that's why, in the category of things we minimize, so we apply mitzvahs yom kikulo. Yosef Engel says, no, the Nazir is in the category of hero. We admire. We should want to maximize. And yet we say mitzvah yom kikulo. So it can't be, Rav Yosef Engel rejects the Ramah Mipano and says, it can't be that the defining factor or criteria of when do you say mitzvah yom kikulo, part of the day is like the whole day, is whether it's good or bad, you want to maximize or minimize. That can't be it. So what is it? And it brings us to what we saw from Rabbi Soloveitcher. Top of page 3, the continuation of that source of Shechter's quoting the Rav. Shamati b'zeh mechvod Rabbeinu Zal, ben yimikzeh kekulo l'shayach ela b'mila'os. That the Rav said the following: we have certain things that are intrinsic, inherent on the calendar, and then we have things that are superimposed onto the calendar. Intrinsic, that which is calendaric, is Shabbos, Yontif. It's calendaric. Every seventh day, Shabbos. 10th of Tishrei is Yom Kippur. The 15th is Sukkot. 15th is 14th of Adar is going to be Purim, and the 15th of Nisan is going to be Pesach. These are days on the calendar. Buy a calendar that's projected out for hundreds of years, and you can predict and anticipate and see those dates on the calendar. They are calendaric days. Calendaric days are not subject to being shortened. You cannot apply Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. The day was established to have that theme for the whole day. So when something is a calendaric day and it bears the theme of the day, then it applies to the entire length of the day. It's not minimized. You cannot apply Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. But when you have something which is not predictable and you don't anticipate it and it's not inherent to the calendar, but it's imposed onto the calendar, nobody could look at a calendar. None of us are a Navi. We can't look at a calendar and predict Chas V'Shalom when we're going to have to sit Shiva. Shiva is imposed onto the calendar. It's not calendaric. No calendar that's printed includes the date of when someone's going to have to sit Shiva. No calendar that's printed includes the date of when someone's going to be a Nazir. So therefore, you would not apply Mitzvah Yom, I'm sorry, you would apply Mitzvah Yom Kekulo. Because when something is not calendaric, when it's not intrinsic, inherent in the calendar, but it is a theme imposed on the calendar, then the theme is subject to being adjusted and manipulated, and then you apply Mitzvah Sayom Kekulo. So two more examples we haven't mentioned. The halacha of a zava, a man who emits a certain disease, gonorrhea-like disease, or a woman, a zava, who has a certain emission. So they have to count. A zava katana, a zava gedola. Whether Yom Shomer's Yom Keneged Yom, one day corresponding with each day she saw, or if she sees 3 days, then she has to observe 7 clean days. That's a zava. Avelus, cherem, someone who's put in cherem for a certain length of time. So all three of those, whether you're going to have some diseased emission from your body, which will render you a certain state of tumah, and whether you'll be placed in cherem for a certain period of time, and whether a person's going to sit Shiva, none of those are printed on the calendar. They're not predictable. You don't anticipate them. They're not printed on the calendar. They're imposed on the calendar. They're not inherent or intrinsic to the calendar. So therefore, einam yamim akvum baluach, elu nosafamim al haluach, v'shayacham davka la'adam hazeh beprat. The others are universal. Sukkot, Pesach, Purim, it applies to all of us universally. But Zav and Zava and Avelis and Cherem, Nazirus, That applies to the individual who is experiencing or has taken upon themselves that status. So there's really two distinctions. What? The Batei Arichoma we have, Tosfos already told us, because the word Shana, it's not subject. It's an exclusion, an exception for its own reason. Shabbos v'yantav, mashayach lomar, miktzeyem kekulah, halos sof hayom hu adayin Shabbos, hu adayin yantav, lefi aluach. What do you mean? You can't Shabbos and yantav. The calendar says it's Shabbos. It says it's yantav. I observed the shtikl Shabbos in the morning. It should be ois Shabbos. I observed a little Pesach. It should be ois Pesach. The calendar says it's still Shabbos. It says it's still yantav. The calendar doesn't say you're a zav or zav or you're avelus or cherim or a nazir. Calendar doesn't say any of that. I, in my mind, have to keep a track of a count. But the count ends when I say it ends. And the halacha says it ends when Miktzas Hayom Kekula, part of the day is like the whole day. But when it says something on the calendar, it's not a count, it's a calendar. I'd put it that way. The difference between a calendar and a count. Miktzas Hayom Kekula applies to something which is part of a count, as opposed to that which is part of the calendar. So go back to Tisha B'Av. Is Tisha B'Av a count or a calendar? So I might have said it's a count. Tisha B'Av is a Yom Avelis. You just told me Avelis is imposed on the calendar. It's not intrinsic to the calendar. So the Rav said, go back to the question. Why shouldn't we say Miktzei Yom Kekula for Tisha B'Av? Observe a little bit in the morning and, new, fantastic. Tisha B'Av's already over by 9 a.m.
Predictable.
So the answer is, no. When the Meraglim came back and gave their negative report, and the people cried all night, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you have a Bechiya Shachinam, you cried for no reason. I'll give you a reason to cry. And he was Kovei Ledoros. He made the day established as an inauspicious negative day for generations. He shifted the morning from a count type of morning to a calendar morning. It's the only calendar morning. I don't know why it's so hot. Maybe someone could find a custodian to lower it. It's the only, thank you, Mashallah. It's the only morning we have which is calendar, not count. The other morning, minor morning days are modeled after it also. But it shifted it. From when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you cried for no reason, I'm going to set in the calendar a day of mourning. So he shifted the mourning from a count type of mourning, from an individual mourning, to a universal mourning. And to a calendar mourning, Tisha B'Av was, Nikba L'Doros, was established for generations and an inauspicious negative day. So far we saw...
And that's the klal that I asked before. Is there a word to describe or a phrase in the Gemara to describe when it does not apply?
The Gemara doesn't do that. The Gemara doesn't do that. We wouldn't have a Shas Sugya Shir. The reason we have Shas Sugya is we see a phrase used in different areas of Shas, of Gemara, of Halacha, and now we, if we're Roy Lekach, if we're eligible, but we, the collective me, meaning our great Gedolei Yisrael, use their analytical skills to analyze, compare, contrast, and dissect when the expression is used, and now deduce from it what's the driving principle and when do we apply it. If that were all spoon-fed to us, it goes back to a word of last week's parsha, the Beis HaLevi. Why did Moshe, he came down from the mountain and he had Karen Or Panav, he had these rays of light, which Renaissance artists misunderstood the word Karen as horn. Michelangelo's Moses sculpture has little horns coming out. This was the origin of what became an anti-Semitic depiction of a Jew having horns, because they misinterpreted. Where are these rays of light? Rashi already quotes, the rays of light came from the Torah, the second set of Luchos, it came with a Torah Shebal Peh. Not from the Torah Shebechsav. The second set of Luchos, we had to make ourselves. The Beis HaLevi talks about, this was the Rav's whole insight about why he was against serving chickpeas at a Sholem Zachar. How do we get from Miktzas Hayom Kekula to chickpeas at a Sholem Zachar? I'll tell you exactly how we got there. The Gemara Nida says that when a baby's born, the angel touches her lip, we're caused to forget all the Torah that we had learned in the womb. The Rav was bothered. Why does the Malach bother teaching you Kol HaTorah Kula in the womb if only you're going to be caused to forget it? The answer is it should be familiar to us. We are recovering. You know, if you've lost all of your content on your device, you can recover the content. So we're not downloading it for the first time. We are begeder recovering content. It's familiar. We have a pintle yid inside us. We've all learned it before, and we're relearning it. But why cause us to forget it? It'd be so much easier if I could know Kol HaTorah Kula. If I knew Shas, why do I have to be caused to relearn it? So the Rav quotes from his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi. Beis HaLevi says, the Amelus, the Yegiyah, we acquire Torah by the effort that we put into it. That was the source of the rays of light. is not when it's spoon-fed to us, but when we earn it, when we work on it, when we earn it. So here too, the Gemara doesn't say in any one place, Mixayim Kakulo, like, you know, like Wikipedia, Mixayim Encyclopedia Talmudit, Mixayim Kakulo, here it is. Gemara references, what we see, we saw Moed Katan, Nazir, Erechim, Zvachim, the Minchas Chinuch, and now we're going to see more, Nazir, Rambam, and now we have to put it all together and make a picture of what makes Sayyum Kikulo. So the Rama Mipano said, the difference between happy and sad, maximize and minimize. Rav Yosef Engel didn't like that, he had a different understanding of the Zeros. The Rav gave a different criteria. When do we say Mixayim Kikulo? When it's a count, not when it's a calendar. Good, let's keep going. He didn't like chickpeas because why do we... Oh, shkrach. Someone's listening. Chickpeas. Why didn't he like arbis? Why didn't he like chickpeas? Because the origin of the makor of eating chickpeas is the circle of life. It's round. It's the food of a mourner. Like the lentils that Yaakov was making for his father, Yitzchak, because Avram had died. So it's the food of a mourner. We serve it. The minute to serve it as the Shalom Zachar is, Nebuch, this baby, has forgotten all of his Torah. We're comforting the mourning baby who's forgotten all of his Torah. So he said, based on the Beis HaLevi, what do you mean you're comforting the mourner? You should be celebrating. It's Geshmak you forgot his Torah. Now you have the Amelis and the Yigi of reacquiring the Torah. It's not download. You don't insert the thumb drive and download Kol HaTorah Kula. You have to learn and work and acquire it based on the Beis HaLevi. Good. Now the question we're left with is understanding Mitzvah Kula. The seventh day. Let's take Avelis as an example. The seventh day. Part of the day is like the whole day. Help us. Help me understand what that expression means. Part of the day is like the whole day. What does that mean? So the rest of the seventh day, is a person in Shiva, they just don't have to sit low to the ground? Or they're always Shiva? Is the seventh day divided into 2 days? If part of the day is like a whole day, what's with the rest of the day? That's the analytical question I'm asking. How do we understand the status of the rest of the day? If part of the day is like a whole day, what's the status of the rest of the day? Is that a new day? Is it a continuation of the day? What's over? When you say Mixas Yom Kikulo, what's over? What? Oh, good. We're going to get to that. But the two ways of understanding, here's the classic Hakira, because what we try to do is, it's a survey of Shas Sugyas, the key word being survey. We're not delving deep into any of these Sugyas, we're just trying to gain a literacy about it. So the classic Hakira on Mixas Yom Kikulo is the following. Does the rest of the day follow part of the day? Meaning, true, you only observe part of the day, but we'll look at the rest of the day as if you did what you did for the little bit, as if you did that the whole day. So really, it's the same day. And really, you had to do it for the whole day, but when you did it for a little bit of the day, we view it as if you did it the whole day. Or do we say, no, all you need on that day is the little bit of the day. And now the rest of the day is a brand new day. And the rest of the day has nothing to do with the beginning of the day. All you needed to do to achieve that last day is do it a little bit in the morning, and now you've completed the count of that last day, and the rest of the day is a new day. What's a nafkamina? Rabbi Savalovsky mentioned on Shabbos, it is Chabura from Rav Shechter, who said, Chakira without a nafkamina is philosophy, not Talmud Torah. In order to be a kiyum in Talmud Torah, there has to be a nafkamina. Otherwise, it's dumb philosophy. So what is a nafkamina? Oh, so let's see. Rav Moshe deals with this Chakira, source 10. In Igros Moshe, Yodeh Chil Gimel, Tshuva Nesimen Nuntes. Rav Moshe deals with the following. And he says the following. When the Torah tells you have to keep something for a certain amount of days, they don't mean complete days. They mean into that last day. Like ad v'ad bechlal or ad v'lo ad bechlal? When we say you have to do something for 7 days, do we mean through the seventh day or the beginning of the seventh day counts as you've completed doing it for 7 days? So says Rav Moshe, they mean the first. You have to do it into the seventh day, into the 30th day. As he says, lo nechshav ha'shiva yamim nigmaru be'emes mitzad miktas hayom. We don't view it that the 7 days are complete because of miktas hayom. It's not that you finished the whole seventh day. It's that all you needed was a piece of the seventh day. Umitam zanicha ma'ashav anida lo amin miktas hayom kekulo. Mishum tumas shivan yamim denida. Umachma shenechshav kol zayin yamim k'me'ayin pesuach. Lachin lo shna rasa rak tipa achas o kol zayin yamim. B'lo hafsek paska kodem. Why don't we apply Mitzvah Kekula to Anida? Let her the seventh morning, go to the mikvah in the morning. Anida has to keep 7 days, the seventh morning, you kept a little bit of it, now go to the mikvah. Why don't we apply it? The answer is because here on the seventh day, what we say is, we have a Chazaka Mayan Pasuach. Once she begins to menstruate, once her body is purging blood, Mayan Pasuach, she is purging blood for 7 days. So it's not a count issue. Oh, part of the seventh day, we'll consider it like she's done. We believe until the close of the seventh day, she has the status, her body has the status. Until the end of that seventh day, that the body is predisposed to likely still be purging blood, and we have to confirm that it's not in order for the status to be over. So you can't say miktas hayom kekulo. It's not into the seventh day, it's a status of 7 days, so you don't apply it. V'yalfina mikro b'psachim, and so on. U'me'achar shekein l'shach she miktas hayom kekulo, kevin the miktas hayom be'emes kekulo. Miktas is not kekulo, right? The whole fear is that her body is going to be bleeding until the end of the seventh day. So what are you going to say? Miktas hayom kekulo? I'll pretend on the seventh day, part of the day is like the whole day. Your body's not following the rules of halacha, miktas hayom kekulo. It's a biological, anatomical rule. It's an anatomical rule, halacha, that the body is going to bleed through the seventh day. So you can't apply miktas hayom kekulo because it's eino be'emes kekulo. When the Torah is teaching you a rule, it's similar to what the Rav was saying about mla'os, about a count. When the Torah is introducing a rule that has to do with a count, it's a count having to do with your status. You're in Chayram till this day. Zava Zava till that day. You're in Avel till that day. So when it's a count having to do with status, so the rabbis came up with a rule that the status is over on the beginning of the last day of the day of the status. So Rav Moshe takes a position on this. So again, is miktas hayom kekulo, does that mean part of the day is like the whole day? Or all you needed was part of the day? So Rav Moshe says it means all you needed is part of the day. It's not that part of the day is like the whole day. It means all you ever needed was part of the day. Zav and Nid is different because you're saying that is the difference.
No, but there is, I'm saying there is a difference.
Right, and that is part of the difference. Well, the difference is also that Zava requires Nikiyim, Nida doesn't, Midoraisa. Today we treat every Nida like a Zava, but only Zava needs Ayin Nikiyim. Anida doesn't. Okay. Yes.
So can you say at the beginning of the sixth hour after a meal you can already have
milk? No. Well, that's a whole separate area. The Rambam, our minug. Thank the man in the back for this. My family's minug is to only wait into the sixth hour, 5 hours and a minute. That's a whole other question. Really, midoraisa, all you have to do is bench, make a bracha achrona after one, and you can have the other. You can have a steak, make a bracha achrona, and have ice cream. Midoraisa. The Ramah quotes, based on the Zohar, we're machmir to wait 1 hour. Neker adin, you wait 1 hour. There's a minug to wait 6 hours. When the Rambam quotes the minug, he writes, kimo sheshos. You should wait approximately 6 hours. So some understand from the Rambam's kimo, wait about 6 hours. Into the sixth hour is about 6 hours. But that's a separate area. Mixas ha'hour ka'hour. That's a separate... that's because the whole thing is a minhag to begin with. So what would be a nafkamina? Our sponsor wants to know. Without a nafkamina, it's philosophy. We don't gather at 3 o'clock on Wednesdays. What's today? Monday. On Mondays to talk philosophy. What's a nafkamina? What happens if something happens on the afternoon of the seventh day that would nullify what you had been counting the days before? So take a case of a zava. What if you see again on the seventh day in the afternoon? Do you say, my first 7 days are over? Mixas ayom kekulo. I finished my 7 days. That's over. This is seeing a new count. It launches a new count. Or do you say, no, mixas ayom kekulo worked when I view part of the day as if it lasted the whole day. That's nice if the rest of the day cooperated with me. But if the rest of the day didn't cooperate with me, now I can no longer rely on mixas ayom kekulo. That would be a nafkamina. So if I see something, there's an omission on the seventh day in the afternoon. If mixas ayom kekulo means all I needed was into the seventh day, now I've discharged, no pun intended, my obligation for Zav, I'm done. And if now I see on the seventh day afternoon, it's a brand new seeing, I've started again. Or do you say, no, mixas ayom kekulo meant part of the day, I will view it as if it lasted the whole day because I still need the whole day. I'm just using a leniency that part of the day, I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to cut corners a little bit. I'll view part of the day as if it was the whole day. That's nice, Kozman, that the whole day cooperated with me. But if the whole day didn't cooperate with me, then retroactively, it undoes my mitzvah sayom, and maybe now, it's not that that count was complete and I've begun a new count. Now I've retroactively annulled my previous count and have to start again. That might be a nafkamina between the two views of how I understand mitzvah yom kekulo, which might be how you understand the machlokas in the Gemara Nazir in Source 11, which I don't want to get too knee deep into those weeds. Yes.
The rest of the day.
Oh, that's another nafkamina we're going to have here. What happens if the seventh day is Erev Yontif? So if Yontif interrupts Shiva, it ends Shiva. If you've already finished with Shiva, now Yontif comes in the middle of Shloshim, it ends Shloshim. What if the seventh day is Erev Yontif? Can you count it as both the end of Shiva and now the rest of that day was the first day of Shloshim, so Yontif ends Shloshim? Or do you say, no, Shloshim didn't... Mitzvah Sayom meant I counted part of the day like the whole day, but I didn't yet do Shloshim. So therefore, I'm going to have to finish Shloshim after Yontif. That's a second nafkamina. How do I view the rest of that day when the seventh day is Erev Yontif? Everyone following? When the seventh day is Erev Yontif. So do I say Mixas Hayom means complete, done, finished. The rest of the day is a new day. Does Mixas Hayom mean that the seventh day is really 2 days? Or does Mixas Hayom mean it's 1 day? I do a shtickle in the beginning, it counts as if I did it the whole day. So if I do a little bit in the beginning, it counts as if I did it the whole day, I didn't really start Shloshim. I'm not entitled to have Yontif come and cancel Shloshim. But if Mixas Hayom meant all I needed was the beginning of the day, when the beginning of the day came, I finished, I'm done, now the rest of the day is exclusively Shloshim, and now Yontif can cancel. Now I understand Shiva and Shloshim overlap. The first 7 days count towards Shloshim too. But there needs to be some Shloshim that's not Shiva in order for Yontif to cancel it. So is that called Shiva that's not Shloshim? Does Mixas Hayom, is that Shiva that's not Shloshim? Or is that still Shiva with Shloshim and therefore Yontif wouldn't cancel?
So doesn't the second day of Yontif cancel out the Shloshim?
No. No. The second day is only Midrabanan and it wouldn't, and how you calculate Shloshim is very interesting with Yontif and so on. You see this a little bit with the Rambam, most explicitly. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, the 7th chapter of the Rambam in Hilchos Avil, source 13. The Rambam writes, Ketzad Mixas Hayom Kekulo. How do you apply this rule? Part of the day is like the whole day. Kevin Shenahag Avelu Sha'achas Kilu Nahag Kol Hayom Kulo. Since you observed Shiva a little bit, 1 hour, it's as if you've observed it the whole day. So what does that sound like? Ki'ilu nahag kol hayom kulo. Not all you needed was a little bit in the morning, but rather, since you observed a little, we will project out, magnify out your little bit as if it covered the whole day. Therefore, mutter lino v'lurchotz v'losoch l'galeach b'shar yom v'cheinu mutter b'shar advarim. You get up off the Shiva chair, you can now go do all the things you weren't allowed to do during Shiva. Yet, the Rambam writes the following. In Hilchos Bias HaMikdash, in the second parak, Halacha Yir Aleph, Ha'ovel Eino Mishalech Korbanosav Kol Shiva. An Ovel is not allowed to have a korban offered on his behalf all Shiva. Aye, what happened to Mikdash HaYom Kekulo? Why can't, when he gets up off the chair, why can't he bring a korban? So what's the answer? The answer is he's still sitting Shiva till the end of the day. The Rambam clearly understands the tzad, that Mikdash HaYom Kekulo means that if you do a little bit in the morning, we view it as if you did it the whole day. Really, you need to do it the whole day. Really, you have the status the whole day. So you can't bring a korban later. You're not done with Shiva. If you see someone in the afternoon of the seventh day, if you finish on the seventh day, you can't say, I'm so relieved to be done with Shiva. You're not done with Shiva. What are you done with? Nihuge Shiva. What you're done with are Shiva practices. Because we let you off the hook. You did a little bit in the morning. We count it as if you did the Shiva practices all day. But you're not really done with Shiva until the seventh day is over. So again, there's two ways to view it. Are you done with Shiva when you get up in the morning, and now the rest of the day is Shloshim? Or no, really you're sitting Shiva till the end of the day, or you have the status of Shiva till the end of the day. The Nihugim, the practices are over, are complete. Why? Because if you did a little of it in the morning, we will project as if you did it the whole day. What? Oh, so look at source 12, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Kovetz Ha'oros. Rabbi Chanan says the following. Let's not get into the nitty-gritty detail of why he explains this as Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon in that Sugya Nazir Tezvav Tezayin, but he says the following. Look at the third line, last word, V'chein. Everyone see it, source 12? V'chein. Gabe Avelos Iyamin Yom Zayin Ola Lekan Lekan, Bekover Mesa Zayin Yom Kodem Aregel, Iregel Mevatel Gzeres Lamed. This is exactly our question. If Shiva ends Erev Yontif, the Gemara said, if Shiva ends on Erev Yontif, will that seventh day also be considered Shloshim that Yontif will cancel it? Ubir machlokas zu nira lechor de Rabbi Yossi relay dechol miktas hu yom mitzar atzmo. Umishimachi efshel lechalek hayom ha'acharon l'shnei yomim. For a bottom sphere, the mikdash hayom eino ki yom mitzad atzmo, el de mikdash on noki nechshav kilo ayakula noki. V'chad hayom ala tro yom eilom mefalginan. Right, so the two ways we've explained this, Rabbi Chanan is trying to say, this chakira, these two studim, these two ways of understanding it, is goof for the machlokas tanaim in the Gemara Nazir. How do you view mikdash hayom kekulo? Is it that when you did a little bit of the seventh day, you finished the count, you're a new person, a new status, you start a fresh start anew? Or is it no? Really, you needed to go till the end of that day. When you did nihugim on part of the day, we'll view it as if you did it the entire day. And we said several nafkaminas, what if a zava sees something in the afternoon of the seventh day? Is that a new count, or does it retroactively annul the previous count? What if the seventh day is an erev yontif? Does it cancel Shloshim, or you've not yet observed Shloshim without a Shiva? The Rambam's nafkamina, can you bring a korban the afternoon when you got up from Shiva? Are you done with Shiva, or you're just done with Nihuge Shiva? So we have at least these three nafkaminas about how to view Mikdash HaYom Kekulo. Is Mikdash HaYom Kekulo, I don't need to get to the end of the day, I'm done once I do a little bit in the beginning of the day? Or I really do need to get to the end of the day, it's just if I did a little bit, I count it as if I got to the end of the day. Or the way that he puts it, Rav Chanan, is that seventh day 2 days or 1 day? Am I done in the morning and the rest of the day is if a brand new day? Did I do this really extraordinary thing of divide 1 day into two? It's 2 days. Or, no, it's really 1 day. Different ways of putting it, but all the same idea. Yes. We're not up to halacha lemaisa. Hold on. We're going to get into very interesting halacha lemaisa. Very, very interesting. We're going to get into what happens on Shabbos. I don't know. We'll get up to it today. What happens if the seventh day is Shabbos? It happens all the time. A funeral is on Sunday. The seventh day is Shabbos. So is there mikdash hayom? There's no avelus on Shabbos. So can you have mikdash hayom if there is no avelus? What did we say Mikdash HaYom might depend on? What is the Rambam's language? The Rambam doesn't say when you wake up the morning of the seventh day you're done. He said, Kevan Shenohog Sha'achas. You did Nihug. Why? Because the Rambam's viewing it as, if you observe a little bit, we'll expand that out and make it like you did the whole day. So we, in order to expand it out to make it like you did the whole day, we can only expand it if you did what? If you did something a little bit, if you were noeg, if you had niug, if you have no niug, so there's a big nafkamina. We're going to get to this. I'm giving you a little preview because I'm going to end here because I got to get back to that. But hold on. I'm giving you a little preview. So can an Ovel whose Shiva ends on Shabbos go to the rabbi's class Shabbos afternoon? Maybe Dvarim Shebetzina, he still has to observe. When do you say Mikzasayam Kekulo on a Shiva that ends on a weekday where there's Nihugi Avelis? So you did a Nihug, now you can get up the rest of the day. But on Shabbos where there's no Nihug in the morning because there's no Dvarim Shebetzina on Shabbos, so there was no Nihug, maybe your Shiva doesn't really end. Maybe Shiva ends in the morning only when your seventh day is a weekday. But maybe when your seventh day is a Shabbos, it doesn't end in the morning with a major nafkamina. Tashma Shamita and Talmud Torah, Dvarim Shebetzina, can you observe or not? I'm giving you a little vorspeise, a little appetizer for the next time. Would that be counting as a niug? Yeah. Is Avelis Betzina a form of a niug? It might even require nechama. Only when there is a menachem to you might be the niug. We'll continue Amir Tashem with this next week, but fascinating.